We use this word good frequently, commonly. Do we know what it means? So that when we read in Genesis, throughout the creation account, when God says, and it was good, and it was good, and it was good, and then finally it was not good. How do we know if something is good or not? You can go to the dictionary or look online, and there'll be a million different definitions. But generally, we can say something is good if it accomplishes the purposes for which it was made, if it does what it's supposed to do. And this is why when God looked at man, the male, alone, he could say it was not good. Because the man was not made to be alone. It's not good for the man to be alone. And this is why God created the woman, the female. And then it was not just good, but very good. And Jesus gives us a nice phrase in the gospel today when he says, in the beginning. Now, we've probably heard that phrase, if at first you don't succeed, try again. Or when it comes to guys building things at home, if at first you don't succeed, read the directions. This is what Jesus is saying today. If at first you don't succeed, read the directions. Go back to the owner's manual. Go back to the beginning. Find out what was the original intent and purpose. Because yes, Moses allowed for divorce. Why? Because of the hardness of their hearts. Because something was broken. It wasn't fulfilling the purpose. So Moses allowed for an amendment. But Christ comes to rectify, to set things straight. So he reminds us of what the original intent and purpose. And we go back to the beginning of creation when God created man and woman in his own image. So when we think about the human person, and the human person is created in the image and likeness of God, what does that mean? Again, there's lots of treatises written about that. But one thing we can say without a doubt is that man and woman are made to be in relationship. When we have the Holy Trinity Sunday, when we study the Trinity, this chief mystery of our faith, it comes down to the fact that the Father and the Son are in a relationship with each other. And because of their free and faithful, fruitful gift of self to the other, there's a new person, the Holy Spirit. It's in that image and likeness of self-gift, of self-donation of the Father to the Son in which the human person is created. So we are made to fulfill that relationship aspect of the Father. We are made to be in relationship, and it's not good when we're not. Jesus, and the gospel today, and all of the gospel, it's much more than just divorce and adultery. And let me just say, if you happen to find yourself in that category with that descriptor, come see us. This church is the best place for you to be. This is where you receive the healing and the mercy that you need. If you need an annulment process begun, come see us. If you need to go to confession, come see us. If you need counseling, if you just need someone to listen to your side of the story, come see us. Divorce does not separate you from the body of Christ. We know that God is mercy, God is love. So for those of you who are hurting in the pain of divorce, there's no better place for you to be than in the arms of your mother, the church. So don't let anything that we heard in the gospel today have any kind of negative aspersion upon you. Christ has come to reveal the kingdom of God and the human person's place within that and the human person's role in helping to achieve the kingdom of God. In Ephesians, St. Paul tells us that the mystery of married love is a sign of the mystery of Christ's love for the church. When he says, wives, be submissive to your husbands, to be under the mission of your husband, to allow your husband to lead you to where? The next line says, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. And this is why the crucifix is so necessary to be in our life, in our homes, to remind us of how much Christ loves us, that he died for us. And so those of you men who have answered this vocation to the married life, your job is to die for your bride, to die for your family, to present her, as St. Paul says, as spotless and without blemish to the Heavenly Father. Why? Because this is how much God loves us. And this is what Jesus did for us. He died so he can present us spotless and without blemish to the Heavenly Father. So when Jesus is revealing to us the original plan for marriage, he's revealing to us his original plan to reveal his love for us. As important and necessary as the priesthood is for our church and the salvation, as necessary is the married life. Those of you who are married, you are charged with the responsibility of shining forth to the world and to the church God's love for his people. We can't imagine. We can't fathom that. We need holy, faithful, married couples to give us an icon, an image of God's love for us. And this is why the prophet of Malachi in the Old Testament can say that God hates divorce. He's not speaking directly about the people who, for whatever reason, sometimes maybe seemingly there's no other answer. He's speaking in general, that divorce gives a fake sign about God's love for his people. As though at some point God could get tired of loving us and go do something else. Or that something was irreparable in the relationship between God and his people, so he went to do something else. This is why divorce is not good in God's eyes. Because it gives us a false image of God's love for his people. When a married couple comes to the altar, the priest or deacon will ask them three questions. Have you come here freely, wholeheartedly, without reservation? Are you prepared to enter into marriage until the day you die? And are you prepared to accept children lovingly and to raise them in the faith? Are you here freely? Will you love faithfully? And will you allow your love to be fruitful? These three aspects of God's love. God loves freely, faithfully, and fruitfully. And we're called to imitate that in a very real way for those of you who are called to the marriage life. But each one of us as disciples are called to love God firstly, fruitfully, faithfully, and freely, and to love each other with that same love. So let us not be distracted by what might be a hard saying or teaching of Christ. Let us go back to the beginning to realize the immensity and the depth of God's love for each one of us, for each one of you. How many people are hurting in this world because they don't know the Father's love? How many troubles that the church is facing would be done away with if all of her priests knew the Father's love? How many families would flourish if everyone knew the Father's love? God loves you. He created you out of love for love. And we need to be reminded of that. I need the witness of holy, faithful, married couples, so that I don't get distracted and lose sight of God's love for me. It is not good for the man to be alone. It is very good for man to be in relationship. This is what we're made for. It's what we're created for. It's what we need.